Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everybody, and welcome to Onceable, episode 86, where we're going to be talking about this week's episode of Once Upon a Time, season 5, episode 16, Our Decay. Joining me tonight, I have Jen, Karen, and Kristen. Laura's off being a little fancy at the Outlander premiere, whatever, it's fine. We'll hopefully have her on at some point this season now that her Skype works, so looking forward to her triumphant return to Onceable. But how are you ladies doing?
Good.
Yeah, pretty good. Except for the snow. It's snowing here. I don't think the rest of you have snow, but I have snow. Like, lots of it. It snowed all day.
We drove through that snow on Sunday, or Saturday, which was super fun. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. It is not okay. It literally snowed all day up here. It's spring, for goodness sake. We didn't have any snow in winter, and yet we have it now. It's not good.
I don't have any snow. It just rained and was miserable. So if you want to tell us about the snow in your area or the beautiful weather in your area, you can tweet at us at Onceable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com, or most of you know who we are and you can tweet us, because I got some tweets during the episode when they were talking about the name Brittany. So that was fun. Just another reason this episode was grand. But before we get into the specifics of the episode, I want to go around and see if it's a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways, two thumbs down. Hit me with it. So, Jen, what did you think of this week's episode?
I really wanted to like it. I did. I just can't. I didn't even know where it was going. I don't understand what the purpose of it was. This whole Hades in love storyline, Hades in love with Xelena storyline, is so, like, done. It's like they needed a reason to incorporate Xelena back into the storyline because they like the actress. I feel like that's what it feels like. Like, it feels very forced. And so I'm kind of just done with it. But I don't know. That's just where I'm at right now. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it gets better, because I don't feel like this episode really did anything for this plot line that we've got going on, or the lack of a plot line. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Karen, how about you?
No thumbs is, can I add a new option?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's getting intense. He's wiping the thumbs off. I love it.
I just don't care. Like, this episode, I couldn't find anything to care about. Anything. And I didn't hate it as much as I thought I would. Granted, I did not like the Xelena Hades love story. It was dumb. But yeah, I have no emotions toward it.
Okay, and Kristen, what about you?
I'm just going to give it a normal thumbs down. I'm not cutting my thumbs off. I just was not a fan, especially because of Rumpel. When Rumpel is particularly awful, I just kind of tune out. Like, it takes away a lot of the enjoyment. Because there were things in this episode that weren't horrible, but yeah, his, like, you know, being a total jerk to Belle just pisses me off and makes me mad. So, thumbs down for me.
I'm going to agree with the thumbs down. There was, like, one moment, maybe two, where I was like, okay, I can see this being a thing, but it didn't save the whole episode. I mean, we've seen this episode before through Regina. Like, the storylines are exactly the same. They're repeating even the Oz stuff, which, how can you do that? It would just happen 2 seasons ago. It's not like season 1, episode 2, where we might forget a plot line and you can recycle it. It just happened. So I was very frustrated with a lot of where they chose to go with some storylines. So definite thumbs down for me this week. We did manage to pull out a few of our favorite quotes. Mine definitely was not about the use of the name Brittany. So, surprised none of you took it, but that's okay. Let's start with Karen. What was your favorite quote?
Mine was actually from Zelina, because I don't hate Zelina. I do think she's a fantastic actress, and it's just unfortunate some of the storylines that she's gotten, but when she's talking to Belle, and she just goes, "Or what, you'll smite me with your book learning?" And it was just funny. I don't really have a reason. It did make me laugh. I think it was the only line that made me laugh in the episode.
Jen?
Mine was from Hades, and honestly, it was one of the only ones that I could, like, I don't know, remember, if you will. And it says, "Despite my best intentions, things don't grow here, they decay, but it's our decay." So he's offering Zelina the world of decay to share with him. Isn't that just so romantic? Oh, okay, I'm going to stop now.
So adorable. Can't even stand it. Kristen, what was yours?
Mine was right at the beginning of the episode, and it came from Snow, and she said, "We were only supposed to be here for a day, and now we're regulars at the diner in hell. On the way to hell." Whatever. Just the fact that they're regulars at the diner from in hell just made me giggle.
Plus the blind witch
that was
somehow
kind of funny.
Maneuvered her way into more than one episode guest spot. So
yeah,
good for her.
She just keeps popping back up. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Mine came from Regina, and honestly, I don't remember her saying this. I just Googled quotes from the episode, and I was like, Regina said this? Good for her. I must have tuned out at this part of the episode. But she says, "My enemies became my family, and that's when I finally felt happy. That is why I'm here. They need my help, and when family needs help, you step up." And I thought that was such a great quote, and I'm kind of upset that I didn't hear her say it in the episode. Was this, like, when she was talking to Robin and Zelina? I'm assuming that's
yeah.
when this
yeah,
happened.
it was the forest stroll or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's probably why I tuned it out. I kind of broke this episode down into three major issues, not so much plot, like, you know, episode, like, recap driven, just because these were the three things that bothered me the most, and I feel like we could touch on everything that bothered everyone through these three categories. And I'd like to open the episode with Kristen's biggest gripe about it, and that's the Rumpel relationship. These two are finally back together, meaning in romance and physical location, because Hades wanted to this is another issue I have. Hades wanted to open a portal, because apparently you could do that with just having Rumpel there. Like, portals are just so a dime a dozen now, it's, like, not a special thing anymore, I feel like. So he opens this portal, and he just wants to bring Zelina's baby through the portal. Unbeknownst to him, Zelina randomly found another portal that she could get back to Storybook through, and she's there, and Belle's there, and they're fighting over the baby at that moment, so all three of them come through. So Belle runs into Rumpel because she goes to a place that she recognizes and, of course, feels at home in, which is the library. And they have their first meeting since Rumpel knows all of this stuff about him signing away his kid and Belle being pregnant and she doesn't know. And there's a lot that Belle needs to take in this moment. So I was wondering what you guys thought of the fact that Rumpel chose in that moment to be, like, lay all of his cards on the table. He didn't hide anything. He said, "This is exactly what's going on. Here's what's at stake." What did you see that as, like, a character improvement in an already awful character that won't mean anything? Or did you just get annoyed that he was there?
Well, I was surprised that he was truthful, because that's not his MO at all. Like, it surprised the heck out of me. And then, you know, 30 seconds later, he's not just laying the truth on her and, coming clean. He's basically saying, "This is who I am. Deal with it." And it wasn't even like a deal with it or leave. It was, "You're going to deal with it. Like, you're going to learn to love me this way." And it was like, dude, like, seriously. Yeah, it just never sat right with me, the way he was treating her in that scene. And just, yeah.
I was glad that he finally told the truth, and I did like that she was still not okay with it. Like, she didn't, you know, write it off or come up with excuses. She was upset. Just the way he spoke to her was so annoying, and I don't know why they keep putting them together when clearly, like, it's not going to work. One of them has to give, and I don't think either one is going to give. And if they are, it's going to be Belle. And if it's Belle, I'm going to be really upset they keep giving us this relationship that is clearly not healthy.
Jen, do you have anything to add about Rumpel's character?
Nothing that's nice.
That's fine.
I think he's incredibly manipulative in this, like, situation. I just wanted to throw something at my TV watching him. Because it's almost like he negates any of Belle's, like, feelings or any of her thoughts on the matter. And then kind of puts the blame on her, saying that, well, you wouldn't have, you know, you love the man and a beast, and they go together. It's not one or the other, Belle. And I don't know if that's really accurate. I think Belle loved the man within the beast and was hoping that the man would stay and the beast would finally go away. But that's not the case, because Rumpel isn't willing to give that part of himself up. And he knows it's not good, but he has to have the power. He craves the power, which he admitted himself. So it's kind of a manipulative play on his part. A, he tells her about the baby, which is just so awkward and weird to begin with. And then B, he tells her, oh, by the way, we don't necessarily get to keep the baby, but that's why I've called this baby here, because I'm going to trade babies, essentially. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so convoluted and weird. And again, I don't know what the point of this storyline is. Like, do we really want Belle and Rumpel to get back together at this point? No, I can't think of a single person that does. I haven't seen a lot of positive response to that, because he's just so, like, he's just a terrible character right now. And I understand that, you know, Regina became good. She had this really great story arc where we saw her go from evil and where she's at now. And they couldn't necessarily do the same with Rumpel, because then, it, you know, it'd be too similar. So we kept him bad. We gave you the hope of him being good and then pulled him back and made him bad. Great. But all this stuff with Belle doesn't fit that storyline. It doesn't work. I guess that's where my problem is. The storytelling around this particular arc just isn't solid, so it makes it hard to want to believe it, and you just want to hate Rumpel even more.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with all of that, especially the part that you were saying where it doesn't fit anymore. It didn't fit anymore once she pushed him over the town line, and I think anything after that needed to stop, because that was a moment where Belle had this, like, personal breakthrough, and she was so strong in that moment, and she did see that the beast wasn't going to leave the man. Not that she acknowledged the fact that they're going to exist, like, coexist, and yes, Rumpel can be a better person, as he says, but that person is never going to be able to fight his craving of power. And for him to say, like, well, this is how it is, that these two people, like, coexist inside of me, and you have to choose to accept that. It's not that you have to choose whether or not you can or cannot live with that. It's that you, this is who you fell in love with, and you're just going to have to get over that. And now it's a bigger deal because you're carrying this baby. It's hard. It's harder for her now to say, I'm going to walk away, knowing that he has this, he is in the middle of, like, these two awful, like, parenting relationships where he was a horrible parent, and she sees his pain with that, even though we as an audience don't buy it. There's a part of Belle that does believe he's remorseful and feels horrible for how he treated Balefire, but then there's his relationship with Peter Pan, where that wasn't a walk in the park. You know, he's not a good person. He's a very damaged person, but he's putting all of that baggage on Belle, and I just don't see how this is going to help her character or how her character is going to help him without her losing herself in the process. And I want her to be that stronger character we saw pushing him out of her life and out of everyone's life. So hopefully, you know, something, these other people stop getting mad at Henry because he doesn't know what's going on, and look at Belle and be like, but what is going on with you? Like, let's let Henry do his thing, because he's probably going to save the day, and let's focus on sorting Belle's relationship out. Because I can't, anytime he's on screen now, it just makes me sick to my stomach. And there are people who like this relationship, and I'm curious to find something that explains it to me in a way that maybe I'm just not seeing it. I don't think I'll ever be able to see past my tainted Rumpel veil, but I'm just curious. I really genuinely want to know what the good is here, if there is any left.
At this point, it feels like mental abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to really like Rumbel, actually, a lot, back before he, like, went back to being the Dark One and chose that over her. It was a good relationship in the way that, like, Regina's journey was really interesting to watch. And now it feels like mental abuse, because you're right. Like, he's not giving her another choice. Not only is he not giving her a choice, he's saying, oh, but no, you really do love this person, even though you keep saying that you don't. You like the Beast because it's one and the same. It's not. Like, he's proven he could be a better person, but he's just chosen not to. It's disgusting. I hate it.
And it's sad because Belle is... So many people, like, love the character of Belle from the Beauty and the Beast story that we all saw, the Disney story. Like, everyone loves her, and they like her with the Beast. But on Once Upon a Time, making Rumpel the Beast, like, ruins that a little bit, because he's not the Beast. The Beast in that movie learns what he did wrong and changes. Like, Rumpel has not changed. So for me, like, it's hard to see any whisper of that Beast character they were trying to make him for the Beauty and the Beast tale, when he still doesn't seem to be willing to learn and change and be a better person in the end. Like, he just keeps making the same mistakes over and over again, and she keeps forgiving him, and it makes no sense.
Yeah, and I would honestly, if we remove Belle from the situation, if she had ended her relationship, they could have had the relationship they had, like Karen was saying. I did enjoy it in the early days, but if they had ended the relationship at that moment where she gets rid of him and he still came back, you know, did everything he did up until this point without the Belle storyline, Rumpel is still a phenomenal... They really outwrote themselves with creating a bad guy. I will give them that. He is the worst bad guy that there could be. But now he's entering a territory of bad guy that is not cool. And I know that if we're uncomfortable with this type of storyline, it doesn't give me hope for the fact that in season 6, there's going to be an arc in a mental hospital, and I just don't want to see it now. You know what I mean? Like, where's the line if they're okay with putting this in a major popular character's story arc? Not that they're going to, like, have an awful storyline in a mental hospital, but that's just where my mind goes with these mind games that they can play on this show. And this is a very unhealthy one. All right, are we rumbled out? Anyway, let's talk about the rival for worst story arc of the episode, and that goes to Hades and Xelena. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to give it to Karen to kick us off, because before this episode even aired, Karen was like, warning, next week. And I'm like, all right, I just really want to know what your initial reaction was, Karen.
God, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm not joking when I say I'm super detached about this. I'm so unemotional. Like, at this point, I don't even think I'm angry. I don't care. And a lot of it stems from the fact that it doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense before when we hadn't even gotten the episode, because I was like, okay, clearly they cross stories, but, like, this is the weirdest crossover they've ever done. And the thing about Greek mythology is that there's so much to pull from, and they decide to bring in Xelena to tie into Hades' story. It didn't make sense. And then watching the episode, it's like, okay, they went for a bike ride and he fell in love with her. That's actually what happened in the episode. He went for a bike ride and fell in love with Xelena. Please explain to me if this makes any kind of sense.
Okay, did anyone else just hear the Wicked Witch of the West, like, theme music playing the whole time they were on the bicycle? Anyone? It was there, and I just, that's all I had. I had nothing else. And I'm like, I don't understand. What am I watching right now? Like, I'm so confused. Like, is this a bad episode of The Bachelor? Like, what's happened? Honestly, so again, I feel like they're trying to mash things together that don't work. They've done some really great things on this show that, like, organically, the stories, you can twist them just enough so that they start to flow and bend together, and it's awesome. And then we have this that I just don't get it. I don't know what the point is. I don't know why they're, you know, great. Hook went to you know, the underworld, so they all had to go to the underworld. Well, we've got Hook, and now we just can't get out of the underworld, but there's nothing that's driving that plot line. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like there's any story there.
They're just, like, existing in the underworld, waiting for Henry to regurgitate Hades', like, story. Like, they're just hanging out, waiting, because they assume that at some point he's going to write them Hades' story so they can get out of there. It's like, there has to be something you can do to work your way out of there. Like, I feel like it's just stagnant, and we're getting Hades and Selena's romantic history to kind of fill in the gap because there's nothing going on.
Yeah, putting Henry, like, let's talk about Henry just for a hot second, because this was one of the more frustrating parts of the story, is that, you know, the author's job is to document things as they happen. It's like, yes, you can't really put eyes on Hades because you're supposed to be acting normally and going about your day, but there's a lot of other stuff going on. Like, clearly, like, the quill is not just going to be like, I'm only going to write Hades chapters because we're in the underworld. Like, no, it's clearly writing about, like, what Mary Margaret had for breakfast. Like, this is not how I want the author to work. They're, like, actively detracting from forward progression of the narrative and ruining all of the good elements that they introduced to this story. Like, they're ruining how the author's role works. They're putting Henry in an awful position of making his character seem worthless, making him feel worthless, until a moment where we don't care if he succeeds, and he doesn't even care because no one cared in the first place, so it's more of a, like, ha-ha on you to everyone else, as opposed to, like, this triumphant moment we've been waiting for. The narrative is just so clunky and clumsy right now that I'm just feeling let down at every turn.
Well, and Hook and Emma, who started this season as, like, the problem, like, we started with Dark Emma, and that morphed into Dark Hook, and it was all this really intriguing, interesting stuff. They've been relegated to, like, second-class citizens now. Like, they had nothing to do in this episode, and it wasn't because there was so much else going on. They just had nothing to do. They quote-unquote saved Hook. She walked up and pulled him off a hook, and Hades didn't stop her, and now they're just hanging out. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And there's, like, no fallout from the Brothers Jones. Like, clearly those two are on a different page. Like, we're supposed to believe that there's this unresolved business. I didn't buy the fact that they were, like, all of a sudden happy-go-lucky with one another. And now they're just, like, sitting in a corner looking at a map. Like, what are you looking at a map for? Can you give us, like, a one-liner as to what you're doing that might move the story forward?
I think my biggest, again, this just goes back to good storytelling, and I don't feel like there's good storytelling going on right now in any aspect of the last, like, two episodes. Like, it's just kind of lost me. Yeah. I'm not with it. There's nothing that interests me right now because I feel like we're not going anywhere. And this has happened a couple times. I feel like they hit these little pockets where they just miss the point and they don't know where they want their story to go. So it's kind of a little bit of a jumble. Or they're trying to squish too much into it. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the perfect opportunity to open up this story and go in a completely different direction. Because as Kristen can attest, when Hades started talking about his brother Zeus, I started flipping out because I was like, please, please, let us have Zeus. And then it was all about Selena and her sister and her mother, which we had a whole half a season on that. Like, this is a story that we already know. Why are we rehashing all of this when they could have, you know, dived deeper into Hades' backstory and his relationship with his brother? Maybe that's coming, but I don't feel like it is right now.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. And I'm also annoyed and frustrated by the fact that we're still focusing now on this time-changing spell. Why was that reintroduced it was cool when it started. Like, there was the threat against Baby Neil. There was... that felt threatening, like, you know, and you put together the rest of it, like, it was a great tie-in to have Zelina collecting all these things, like the Scarecrow and the Tin Man, like, you know, you had all of that Wizard of Oz stuff tied in there, and that's what made the Oz narrative work. But now we're just saying the same exact thing over again. Like, we had to see her go after the Scarecrow's brain. He had to go back to that particular moment in time to make a deal with Zelina. Like, why are we going back and reintroducing something that's already happened and failed, and we don't need a threat against, like, this hood baby, and we need to rehash the story of Zelina not being a fit mother and her magic being too out of control and her feeling bad about it but still kind of wanting the baby, and you... I'm so tired of it. I'm like, we've been here before, seen it before. Even when they went back to the farmhouse, I was like, please, why are you reusing sets? Like, I was just angry about everything, that every single decision they made, I was angry about.
Not to mention, I'm really over the baby napping.
Like, oh my gosh, like, I know.
Can we stop using children as the symbol of innocence for a spout? Like, okay. Like, I'm over it now. It was somewhat interesting the first time because it put Baby Neil in jeopardy, and that was a necessary element for the story, like you said. Like, it all worked. But now it just seems, again, like a recycled storyline. They're pulling this back in to make us care about this Zelina Hades romance thing that we don't care about. It's the baby napping bothers.
And also, it's not okay,
and it seems weird to keep using kids like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry, you cut out, so I thought you were done, but you're good. You came back in just in time. Yeah, with the baby thing, I also just don't feel like it's a threat anymore, because they're not going to kill a kid on the show. They're just not. And so, it's just like, everyone can forget about their kids until it needs to be relevant. We haven't heard Neil's name I think since he was christened a season and a half ago. He's hanging out with Belle 24/7 for a season and a half, and now all of a sudden it's like, we need to speak to him. That plot line, like, just drove me crazy. There was that moment that hurt a lot when they turn around to the guy and say, how does this work? Does it really work? And he said, I don't know, but if it doesn't, I've wasted 30 years. That killed me. I was like, I felt more emotion for the random stand-in actor with one line than I did for any leading character of this entire episode. And I was like, I want his story. Who is he talking to? Where is that person? Can we go check on them? Like, that's all I wanted to see, was what happened to random bystander number one in the credits. I wanted his story.
Yeah, well, and the whole phone call to the baby thing was just weird to me, too. I know you kind of just ranted about that, but that whole idea of it just seemed really, like, odd.
Yeah, and of course it had to have resolution, because just when Mary Margaret is over identifying herself as just a hope-spewing machine, she's roped back into a storyline where Henry has to come down and give her that hope, because otherwise she's useless. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have hope, she is... not useful. I get her situation where she's upset that she can't talk to her son, and that is painful for a mother, but, like, you haven't thought about him in a season and a half. I'm having a hard time feeling bad for you in this particular moment until Henry's like, oh, it's totally cool. I was asleep, and then I woke up, and it said you talked to Neil, so it's, like, totally awesome. Like, and then Henry gets angry because no one cares. They're like, but how did you know? He's like, I don't know. Oh my gosh, guys. It's fine. Hopefully they can write themselves out of this hole.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think I would have cared more about Charming and Snow missing their child, because that's a legitimate thing, and I can see that working as a reason for Snow to kind of pull them all up and say, we're going to figure this out now. I want to get back to my kid. If she had that child as a part of the story at any point in the last, like, 8 months,
mm-hmm.
if we had seen them with Baby Neil, if we had heard Baby Neil's name more than, you know, zero times before today, for this episode, it would have had more weight. It's just that we don't see him, we don't hear him, and then when it's useful, they remind us, oh yeah, baby Neil, he's still up there, and, you know, his parentless moment, and yeah. So, they want us to feel bad for the parents, and I do, but not enough, because we just haven't seen them be parents.
Yeah, I'm a little frustrated about their use of children, especially Henry. I just want this kid to, like, catch a break and not just be written off as a moody teenager with all this power and he just doesn't know how to use it. Like, I get that he's trying to figure it out, and I'm frustrated for him. Like, I feel like I'm Henry in a way. Just, like what are they trying to do? Like, he's trying to give them something, and it's just not... He doesn't know how to explain it. And so it's hard for him to be like, I have all this magic and I know what you guys want me to use it for, but I really don't know how to use it. Like, I need the apprentice to come back in and be like, all right, here's another lesson, because he doesn't know what he's looking for. He's not sure if he needs to, like, does he need to be in a certain place in order to be writing about Hades? Is it because he's so... like, his family is hovering over him, so, like, that's what he's writing about. Like, does he need to be on, like, a covert, what is this mission called? Operation Firebird? Like, does he need to be near, like, the clock tower? Like, where does he need to be in proximity to the action in order to write about it? Because we've seen the author physically writing. He was sitting on that, like, stump and was writing all of his, like, fan fiction about fairy tales, and that's when he got in trouble. And so I feel like if Henry started, like, you know, going places and leaving and being trusted as a capable human being by his family, he could, like, write something about someone else, even what Cruella's up to, because where is she? Like, she's not calling him off for a secret meeting, being like, why aren't you putting that quill to good use? I'm just... everything's falling apart. And I'm feeling very hopeless.
I think that's what's frustrating me so much about Henry right now. And all these stupid comments about, oh, I guess, you know, we have a teenager now and he's just being a moody teenager. Like, no, he has a lot of pressure on him. He's bearing a lot of weight because it's up to him to figure this out. Emma and Hook are literally just sitting on the couch waiting for him to do something. He's the only one actively going after Hades and trying to figure out the solution to their very, very large problem. And the side story of Mary Margaret and David, like, going to talk to their son, it means nothing. And they need to focus, first of all, they need less characters, because that's the problem right now. We saw the synopsis the other day, and it listed all of the characters going into the underworld and what they were going to be doing, and it was like, half the synopsis was just character names. And if they could pare those character names down to the ones that are actually relevant to the story and stop giving us these side stories, I think the show would be a lot better for it, and we could spend more than just the last 5 minutes of each episode focusing on Henry, who's the only one doing something about it.
Yeah, I like that point a lot, especially about bringing too many characters in. Yes, Zelina worked. Yes, Cruella worked. They're both brilliant actresses, but there's no room for their stories if you want to get a Hades story and a Snow story and a Charming story and Emma and Hook and, like, Emma and Hook's relationship. Like, who the heck cares at this point? I'm just like, meh, whatever. I've kind of, like, just given up on that. And there's too many, like, one-off episodes where, oh, we're going to have Hercules and Megara, but they're not going to do anything. Oh, we're going to have Hook's brother. Oh, that's really actually not going to pan out to really do anything. Like, why are we trying so hard to write these one-off episodes when they're not advancing the story at all? If anything, they're making matters worse and more crowded, even as the underworld's getting less crowded.
Yeah, I don't know if they feel the pressure to keep up these flashbacks because that's how the story began, but ultimately they could cut out 90% of the flashbacks they've started using in the last, you know, 3 or 4 episodes, and focus on the mission, focus on getting out of the underworld, focus on saving Hook and getting out of it. Like, they're so determined to give us backstory in addition to the story we're getting now that I feel like that's what's pulling them in two separate directions. If they would just say, okay, We may have done flashbacks in seasons 1 and 2, and they worked amazing, but now the show needs to evolve, it needs to change, and we need to focus here. Give us a flashback if we absolutely need it to understand something, but at this point, we know these characters. We know where they came from. We don't need to see every moment of their lives. We know who they are. So let's focus on what they're doing now and what needs to happen rather than, you know, going back to watch them the one time that they, you know, did something horrible with their brother on the ship. And, you know, like, it seems like a waste.
Yeah, I had that feeling with the last Regina flashback. I love a young Snow, but I can't have another Regina flashback. Like, I need at least a season off. I love seeing Evil Queen Regina. I do, but it's too much now. Now I'm like, how much worse can your backstory get with Snow? Like, how many more interactions do I need to see in order to buy it? I bought it after the first 3 in season 1. Like, I don't need any more. And I think that they're, like you said, they have this formula and they're like, yes, we're going to stick to that. A huge problem that I just thought of when you were talking about that is when we go back to Storybrooke, Camelot is still, like, taking up residence there. Like, what are they going to do with that? They're just going to, like, walk in and it's like, new Camelot. And I just don't know what's going on. Like, all of these people are still there. And I don't think we're ever going to touch on that. I think they're going to write it off as like, oh, they found a way out. Like, okay.
Honestly, at this point, I'd be surprised if they even wrote it out. Like, they just aren't there. And they just assume that we assume that they found a way out while everybody else was, you know, hanging out in the underworld, having oatmeal and toast.
Just like we assume like, that Will Scarlet is just irrelevant.
God. Still so mad.
He should come back. He would be great right now. Can we just see him somewhere, please?
Maybe he'll be. Oh, speaking of Scarlet, I was gonna say maybe we'll just randomly run into him in the woods in the underworld because he accidentally got himself killed somehow. But Robin is like, I only feel safe in the woods. I'm going to take this infant child and go live in the woods of the underworld where they just hunted a 3-headed beast 4 episodes ago.
Not just the woods in the underworld. Like, Robin, bad plan.
What are you doing? Oh my gosh. I can't with this writing. Does, like, Sean McGuire have to take a week or two off and they're just, like, going to assume he's in the woods somewhere? Guys, I just can't. I feel like there's not much else to talk about. The only other thing I wanted to bring up was I kind of touched on this in my recap, and it's something that's been bugging me. I think we just need portals to be a thing, because Hades' line in this episode where he was just like, we don't have a bean, we don't have a shoe, we don't have this, we don't have that. I'm like, there are literally, if you introduce one more magical object that can open a portal, I'm going to flip out. Just give someone the power to open portals, make some rules as to where in time you can drop it and out of, but just, God, please just give someone the power to open portals, because I can't have this, well, we don't have a portal, I don't know how we're going to do something plot line anymore. And now Zelina is just, like, randomly world hopping anyway, and somehow, like, Hades just being there meant that Rumple could open this portal in the underworld, and I can't deal with them trying to work in portal magic anymore.
Yeah, I mean, give Henry the power. He's got the quill.
Yeah, somehow, and the author can jump through portals, so there we go.
Right, like, give the quill the power to open portals that they didn't know of before, and ta-da. Now Henry can open a portal anytime they need one.
Oh, I hope he finds that power soon, and he just, like, goes to, like, hang out in, like, the 1920s again. Oh, gosh, guys. I don't know. Next week is not looking good either, because Gaston's coming, so it's just more Rumple and Belle. Hopefully Gaston kills someone. I don't know what to do.
I'm hoping for.
I mean, Rumple caught the arrow in the preview, which, like, ticked me off, but one can only hope that it'll pierce his daggered heart. I'm sorry this was such a negative episode.
I'm just, like,
Yeah, I hate that we're being so negative about it too, but we give Once Upon a Time a lot of passes. It's a silly show. We've known that from the beginning. It's fine. It's not always perfect, and it's always been fairly complicated. But it's getting to the point now where I'm not even enjoying it, and I was so excited for Hades to come onto the show. Like, I cried. I was so excited, and now I feel so let down by it. And they could have taken it in so many amazing directions, and they're just letting it falter. And I don't know if they're tired, if they just don't have any new ideas, if they don't care anymore, but they're not treating this the same way that they did in the first couple of seasons, where every new crossover, every new connection got us so excited for the show. Because it's like, oh, I never thought that, you know, these two characters could actually be friends, because we've never seen that before, but in this world it worked. And now it's like they're just throwing people at each other and seeing what sticks. And even if it's, you know, barely coherent, they're like, nah, we'll just try it anyway. And it's getting frustrating because I want to still like the show. But every episode, I'm just feeling more distance from it and more detached. And I don't like feeling that way.
Yeah, I thought that season 5's first half was the strongest the show has been in a long time. I loved it. I loved the Camelot stuff because I loved the mystery of not knowing how we got to the point we were in Storybrooke from literally, it was like two scenes were all we needed, and they were able to keep that suspense up for that long, you know, like trying to connect the 5 weeks. And I thought that they did a great job with the casting for Camelot. Some of the stories were, like, you know, hit or miss in Camelot, but that's fine. Like, we had a lot of hit or miss in Neverland, a lot of hit or miss in Oz. Like, you expect a certain number of things to just not work, and that's fine. But I thought that the way that Jennifer Morrison and Colin O'Donoghue and, you know, this, the way that they acted in the first half was so well done, especially after Hook found out he was dark and he went full dark. Like, I ate it up. I thought it was so good, and I was so happy the show was so twisted and dark, and they went there, and they really put a lot of effort into it. And I feel like they did just that. They put so much effort into that that now they went on vacation after that. They were like, we did it, and we don't know what to do.
Yeah, they went to, like, the ultimate dark. They sent Hook to the underworld. And we were ecstatic that we were going to have to go down there and save him. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they just dropped the ball since they've made it to the underworld. Like, it's been a giant question mark of, since the heroes have no idea what to do or how to do it or where anything is, we have no idea what to expect or what's coming next. And rather than use that to surprise us and keep it fresh and active and you know, intense, it's become this just blasé, waiting for them to save someone else kind of thing, and it's just not working. Yep. Hopefully something changes soon and they can kind of flip this back, but
there are no stakes. Like, we had stakes in the first half of season 5 where we knew where they ended up 5 weeks later. How did they get there was the question, and what happens once they figure it out? There's nothing, like, I don't care what happens. Like, for all I know right now, they could be in the underworld for the next 50 years and it wouldn't make a difference because nothing's happening in Storybrooke as far as we're concerned. And they're not being harmed by being in the underworld. It's not like, yes, their souls are, like, trapped there now because their names are on the tombstones, but I feel like nothing has changed because of that. Like, okay, but they're going to figure out a way to get rid of that. It's not like they're one by one dying. You know what I mean? Like, actually moving on from the underworld. Like, they're just, everything is a placeholder. And it's, I feel no pressure for them to leave anytime soon.
Yeah, Snow, Regina, and Emma do not seem concerned that their names are on tombstones and that they're technically stuck, which is problematic. They should care. Like,
well, it's like they introduced that plot line and then never went back to it again. We've had, what, 2 to 3 episodes since that one? Mm-hmm. And they never went back to be like, oh, hey, yeah, we have to solve this problem. No, they just keep introducing these weird, random plot lines that have nothing to do with the overarching storyline, which I think is what bothers me the most.
All right. Do we have any final thoughts slash hope for the season slash countdown to, I think it was May 16th is the finale? I think it was announced today. May 16th is the finale of Once Upon a Time. So we're almost there. We're almost in the home stretch. Yeah, we'll be back. I mean, we'll be back next week. Hopefully we'll have something good to say. I think the casting of Gaston is fantastic. They recast the person playing him, and he looks great from some of the behind-the-scenes photos I saw on Tumblr. Yeah, so he'll be there with his slicked back hair and all that goodness.
His flannel.
He does have flannel, and he's an archer, so... who knows why he's down there. I'm sure we'll get a flashback. God. All right, before I say anything too damning about Once Upon a Time, I will talk to you next week and on the Twitter, which I'm sure if anyone listens to this, they'll have stuff to say.
On the Twitter, are you like my grandma?
I always say the Twitter. I am like an 80-year-old woman.
I love it. I love it.
I'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.